Ray, right? We are to Hashem like a ray of light is to the sun. And so these two rays of light are having a conversation. And we're up to we didn't really totally finish number four. So let's go back to four. So Ray says, Doc, I don't feel it. Maybe I'm just not connected to the sun. Maybe I'm a sinner. Okay? So the doc says, Ray, you're always connected to the sun. Right this very second, we are all connected to Hashem this very second. No act can change that fact. Okay? We're all connected. This place over there. No act can change that fact. You are connected to Hashem all the time. You cannot not be connected to Him. You are forever a part of the sun. It's only your beliefs and lifestyle that set you apart from Him in your mind. What happened to mind? Oh, there it is. Yeah, mind. Okay, so now we're on the other side. So what do I have to do? So the doc says, Ray, act in ways that portray and not betray you. This is the only choice you have in life. All choices are variations of this one choice, which is to portray or to betray who you are in relationship to Hashem. And the Hebrew word for that, anybody know what the Hebrew word for that is? Emuna. That's what Emuna actually means. Emuna has been unfortunately translated as faith. But Emuna is not faith. Okay? Emuna comes from the word ne'eman, which means to be devoted. Emuna comes from the word amen. And what does the word amen mean? It actually means true. You're saying, I am agreeing, but you're actually literally saying true. Amen means true, and therefore you're agreeing to what the person said. So amen actually means true. And it also comes from the word omanut, and what does the word omanut mean?
Art.
Okay, omanut is art. So let's try and put that together. What is emuna actually? It's connected to truth. It's connected to devotion or dedication. It's connected to art. What do you think it means? What really is an ish emuna, a person of emuna? Yes, really.
I thought emuna was somebody that has such a degree of certainty with the truth, but it's not like a truth you can prove. It's more something you just know.
Okay, yes, they're tapped into the truth, but it's a lot more than that. Yeah, you know. Yeah, John.
Creative.
There's something creative about it. Emunah is the ability to faithfully portray truth. That's really what Emunah is. A person who succeeds at Emunah is a person who, through their thinking, speaking, and acting, are faithfully portraying the truth of who they are, and the truth of what or who they're a part of. That's really what emuna is, okay? And so that's what he's saying to him. He's saying your real choice is to betray or to portray who you are, okay? In other words, if you were walking down the street and you saw some fellow kick an old lady, right? Well, that wouldn't be very nice. But what's wrong with what he did? He is not portraying the truth. If he knew who he was, and if he knew who she was, and if he knew that Hashem is the one self that unites us all and we're all facets of that oneness, then he'd never do a thing like that, right? So his behavior is not portraying the truth of who he is and who we're all a part of, okay? And that's what he's saying to him. Ray, act in ways that portray and not betray you. So Ray says, so it's fake it till you make it. And Doc says, Doc, I can't pretend to be someone I'm not. And the Doc says, no, Ray, it's fake it till you awake it. What's the difference between fake it till you make it or fake it till you awake it? Yeah.
Well, fake it till you make it, like make it means like you built something. Awake is you just realize that it was already there.
Excellent. See, fake it till you make it still feels like I'm faking it. Right, and I'm going to just become a regular fake, a consistent fake, but I'm really faking. Okay, fake it till you wake. It means that deep inside of you, you know the truth. Right, And that's what he says. He says, Ray, it's fake it till you wake it. Deep within, we know the truth. The path to wellness is to make the unconscious conscious. Okay? Now, this is what Freud said. Freud believed that the path to wellness is to make the unconscious conscious. But what did he think was in the unconscious? Anybody know what Freud thought was in the unconscious?
Repressed.
Repressed. For him, the unconscious was a dumping ground for a lot of negative, abusive, you know, feelings that you're repressing in your unconscious. And because you're repressing all this negative stuff and painful stuff in your unconscious, and you're not facing it and you're not properly expressing it, it comes out in neurotic behavior in unhealthy ways. Okay? That's what he said. However, that's not what we're saying. Okay? Although they do call Freud the father of the unconscious, but his, Carl Jung, who was a little a shtickle Talmud, as far as I know, of Freud, he kind of parted ways with Freud in certainly in this. He believed that also the way to becoming healthy is to make the unconscious conscious, but he believed that in the unconscious was a rich reservoir of great wisdom. Okay? That's what Judaism believes. Torah believes that in your unconscious is Torah. And how do you know that? What Gemara teaches that truth? You've heard this Gemara probably many times before. Yeah? What do you know about that Gemara? Okay. Yeah.
You talk about the story where you were in your baby in the womb.
Exactly. It says in the Gemara Sota that when you were in your mother's womb, you were taught all of Torah, right? And then when you're about to leave, what does an angel do? He touches you right here. You thought that was from erosion in the wintertime, right? But it's not. It's the angel's fingerprint. Now, come on, what is that Gemara telling us? That there are these practical joker angels that are floating in your mother's stomach, and they love touching you over the mouth to make you forget all that wisdom. And we've come into this world, and, you know, what is that telling you? It's telling you that all study is a form of recovery. You are, so to speak, recovering data that's already input inside of you, okay? And basically, this is a Gemara talking about the unconscious. It doesn't use the word unconscious, but it's telling you that you come into this world with a rich reservoir of divine wisdom. You know the truth. You know who you are, you know why you are, and you know what you need to do. Who made their unconscious conscious? Avram Avinu. We learned that his kidneys became wellsprings of Torah. What does it mean? That he knew something from his guts. I mean, they call it the kidneys, but, you know, today we call it guts, whatever. But there's this gut knowing that you know the truth. So what is Torah claiming to do? Torah is saying that through living a Torah life, you are making the unconscious conscious. Right? Because if you are really conscious of who you are and why you are and who you're connected to and what's the point of all this, you would know all of halacha. You would know every single detail of halacha. That's the claim, okay? And so that's what he's saying to him. He said, Ray, act in ways that portray and not betray you. And he said, well, I don't want to fake it till I make it. I don't want to just pretend and be a fake. He says, no, it's fake it till you awake it deep inside of you. This is who you really are. Kind of imagine, I just gave this example yesterday to someone. You know, imagine you're at someone who does handwriting analysis, and they look at your handwriting and they say, you know, let me see some of your recent art pieces. And you say, well, I'm not an artist. And I say, oh, I'm sorry, you are an artist. I see that in your handwriting. Because I'm not an artist. He said, well, you know what, bring me your notebook from, you know, college. So he brings him some notebooks, and he shows him how all around the page is this very beautiful art that he's been doodling all those years without realizing that he's actually an artist, okay? So we talked about it. What is Jewish education? Why do I teach my children Judaism? I don't teach my children Judaism because it's true, right? I teach them Judaism because they're Jews, right? Now, if you ask any other religion, I highly doubt they're going to say that. You ask any person who's teaching their children their particular philosophical, political views, and you say, why are you teaching your children that? Why are you inculcating your children with that? Right? Why don't you just let them choose? They'll say, because it's the truth. And they're too young to understand that, but I'm telling them the truth. But if you ask a Jew who understands Judaism and ask them, why are you teaching your children Torah? The answer would be, because they're Jewish. And this is the path that will enable their unconscious to be conscious and live who they are, to be the whole self that they're meant to be. That is a Jewish attitude towards education, okay? And that's why we don't go around trying to convert people, because that's not fair. That's not their path. Their path is not to celebrate Shabbat. So why would I try to influence a not-Jewish person to keep Shabbat? It's not their path. They should go find their path. That's why if somebody tries to convert, we push them away. We don't push them away because we're elitist. We push them away because we want to see how much this is really, really what they want, and that somehow in their essence they are maybe a reincarnation of a Jew, or I don't know what, or in a previous life they were Jewish. I don't know. But how Jewish really are they? You know? The Rambam says that if a person says he wants to convert, and he says, I feel part of the Jewish people, I want to share in their pain, and I want to be part of their future. According to the Rambam, that would be enough to begin to teach them Judaism. Why? They didn't say they believe in God, and they didn't say they want to keep the mitzvahs. But they said they want to be part of the Jewish people. And that's what it says every day you say the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, asher bachar banu mikol amim, v'natan lanu et Torato. Right? Why does it say asher bachar banu mikol amim v'natan lanu et Torato? What came first, Torah or the Jewish people? The Jewish people. The Torah is there to help you be who you are. It doesn't say you gave us the Torah and made us Jews. Because you're a Jew, this is the path that enables you to be who you are in the unique way you're meant to be. Okay, that is the attitude of Torah life. Yeah, Ben.
So then how does the Noahide laws fit into there? Like, if I...
That's the right path for them.
But will I get anything from studying the Noahide laws, or will I gain something from studying the Torah?
The Noahide laws... Would fulfill some of your Torah responsibilities, but not all.
But a non-Jew would be satiated with it because they're not as deep as us. Like, why would that?
It's nothing doing being deep. It's just what you need and what I need. If I'm a rabbi, I have more responsibility than you do, because I'm a rabbi. So we to the world are like the rabbis to the world. We're called the Mamlechet Kohanim, just like the Kohanim. Have a lot more halachic responsibilities than Levi'im, who have more responsibility than Yisraelim. Right? So I'm a Kohen, and I have more responsibility than a non-Kohen. Okay, that's because I'm meant to be a certain model. I'm supposed to be on the front of Vogue magazine. You know, I'm supposed to be a model, right? I'm supposed to be an inspiration. Okay, and I should be a little different than you. Like, you wouldn't want to see me, you know, in a bar. You know, so that's why I come much later. Because you don't want to see me in a bar. Because you don't want to see a rabbi in a bar because he's not your friend. You want him to be different. You want him to be a little bit separate from you because you want him to be a rabbi. You don't want him to be your friend. That's why I think it's a mistake when parents say to their kids, yeah, you're right, Abed, isn't daddy your best friend? No, you're my dad. I don't want you to be my friend. I have friends. I need a dad. Right? Now, of course, the dad is friendly and loving and kind, but I think it's a mistake when parents try to be their children's friends and want to do the things that their friends do with their children when children don't want that. They want you to be their dad. You know, it's like, I remember when Purim, I got drunk. Not many Purims I get drunk. But I was walking with my kids, and my kids were really having a very hard time. They don't like, now my kids are older, but when they were little kids, they didn't like me getting drunk because now I'm acting like a kid. They can't handle that. You don't roll around on the street. You don't do that. You know, like, you don't do those things. We do things like that. You don't do things that, you know, you should be inhibited to do. You don't do that. You don't talk that way. You don't act that way. We're kids. Don't act like a kid.
Remember.
What?
I'm surprised you actually remember.
I don't remember that much, but there are pictures, and it was posted on the front page of magazines. And it's posted on social media all over the place. So, but anyways... So we have certain responsibilities they don't have, but that doesn't mean I'm better or worse. Like the fact that I'm a rabbi and you're not, does that make me better than all of you?
Yes, kind of.
In this case, yes, but just because you guys are the right dumb. But if you want another yeshiva, right? No, but the truth is, no, I'm not better than you, but I have a different responsibility, right? And because I have that, I have certain added responsibilities that you don't have because you're a student and I'm a rabbi, okay? So they have different responsibilities. I have different responsibilities. It's not about better or worse. It's just about who you are and how you and what you channel about Hashem into the world. Yeah.
But if we can choose to have different amount of responsibilities and still keep the fact that we're treating ourselves the same, wouldn't it be better to have less responsibility?
Like, no. As it says, there's a famous rabbi that said, with greatness comes responsibility. And that was Rabbi Batman. Okay? So, Jewish guy, Batman.
So you would say that...
Spider-Man. I'm sorry. It was actually a machlokes. Say Spider-Man and Batman. Okay. So if you have power, then that comes with responsibility. We have a power to change this world. We have a huge responsibility, and that's why I think there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world, because I think that a lot of anti-Semites are disappointed in us and feel that you should be being a role model and you're not. But let's not go there right now. Let's go back to the light. Okay, so he says that wellness is to make the unconscious conscious. Okay, and that's what we're trying to do. When you keep Shabbos, something about the truth of Einod Milvado becomes more conscious. But that is really all of Judaism is to bring out of the unconscious, which is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There is nothing but Hashem, and everyone and everything is a facet, a revelation, a manifestation of Hashem. I'm not Hashem, you're not Hashem, but we are facets and revelations of Hashem. So there's really nothing but Hashem, okay? And that is something we know. And every single halacha is releasing from the unconscious a little bit more of that truth. But there's something called NLP. Have you heard of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming? All right, so one of the ideas of neuro-linguistic programming is that, you know, our brain is kind of like a computer. And you could trigger out of your brain, you know, you could trigger out of your brain certain memories. So, for instance, let's say a person just got a raise. And they are feeling incredibly happy. So they're on their way to tell their wife, you know, on their way home in their car. And suddenly they have this shift of mood. Have you ever had that experience where you were feeling really happy and you don't know why, you just had a shift in mood? So one of the theories is that let's say this guy just had this, got this raise. So he's feeling really very excited, okay? What happens is the music on the radio says, we've got some oldie goldies, from the, whatever, the 60s, and we're going to play the Beatles. And this guy says, ah, I love the Beatles. And they start playing She Loves You, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he gets depressed. Now, he has no clue that it was that song that triggered depression. But what happened was, 30 years ago, he got into a fight with his fiance in a coffee house. She got angry, and she took the ring off her finger, threw in his face, and said, I never want to see you again. While that was happening, there was music in the background. And he didn't even notice the music, right? And it was, of course, She Loves You, yeah, yeah, yeah. Every time he hears that song, it's like an access code that triggers out of his unconscious the memory of the pain of that experience, okay? So too, Judaism is very much kind of like NLP. It is claiming that within the unconscious is an experience of the oneness of Hashem, of the one and onlyness of Hashem, right? And when you encounter, when you, you know, celebrate Shabbos properly, or you daven properly, or you put on your tefillin properly, or you put on your tzitzit, it triggers out of the unconscious a little bit more of this truth that Hashem is one, there is only one self, one soul, we are all one, and it releases from within you a greater sense of love, a greater yearning to be kind. That's what Judaism is claiming, is the technology and the science behind Judaism. It is a science of consciousness that is meant to trigger from within your unconscious truths that you already know about yourself, your purpose, and what it's all about. Okay, any questions on what I just shared? Yeah. Okay, so any questions? Yeah.
So, is becoming, I just want to clarify before, is becoming yourself the same as aligning your will with Hashem's will? Is
yes. That, yes.
Way back, you said that, you know, you have these, specifically in your example, you talk that you ad-lib and it just comes out and you say you'll need plan for it sometimes, right? Is that you connecting with the knowledge that was placed inside you, kind of?
Well, it's more than that. At that point, you become more consciously connected to Hashem.
So Hashem begins
to speak through you.
So where does the, what you learned, I guess, inside the womb, like, come into play? Is it, how do you differentiate between that of knowledge and what Hashem is, when you tune into Hashem, I guess, like, the frequency?
Well, that's like the difference between Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yushalayim. Kimitzion Teitzei Torah is the Torah that's already written, right? But then Dvar Hashem Yushalayim is kind of new information that's relevant for going on now. So it's like Vahayayim Shemoa Tishma'u. If you listen to what's already being told to you, written down in Torah, then you will get more guidance for what you need to do today. It won't be a halacha, but it'll be what you need to do today. Okay? Yeah.
So you know how you said that Jews came before the Torah? That Torah
yes.
Was given as like a way to connect to the self. Did any of the Avot know that we would receive the Torah? Or they were just...
No, they lived the Torah. It even says that when Yitzchak says to Yaakov, to Esav, get me, you know, hunting... And then the mother says to Yaakov, bring me two lambs. It was because it was Yom Kippur. And somehow she knew it was Yom Kippur. Like, what are they talking about? You know, so you'll find these interesting midrashim that suggest that they knew holidays before they even happened, which is telling you, we think holidays happened after some historical event. But rather, the historical event is a manifestation of a holiday that's already there, okay, waiting to be revealed in this particular event. And they were tapped into that. So you have to think of the Avot and the Amot kind of like Kabbalists that had psychic powers. They weren't like you and me. I mean, they were more like me, but not like you. Right? They were psychic. They were tapped into knowledge. They're not your regular people. So if you think of the Lubavitch Rebbe as being this incredible human being that was so tapped into so much wisdom, then Avraham Avinu is like 1,000 times that. So we read these stories if they're people like us. They're not people like us. Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like the example you gave, like with someone like hearing the song, and kind of like getting themselves like in that mindset, and like probably like stirs up like, a lot of feeling within them. I feel like Judaism, by having it so often, kind of makes it more like mundane in a way, because like it's so frequent, and you just get so used to it.
Okay, so that is the downside that you have to be aware of. I don't know if I gave you the example. Let's say a guy gets married, and his friend says, "You know what? You should tell your wife you love her 3 times a day." That's a good thing to do. So you say, okay, that sounds like a good strategy for a good marriage. Okay, so they get married, you know, and before he goes to sleep, he says, I love you. Okay, he got one in there, right? Marv. Okay, so then he gets up in the morning, and he's rushing off to work. Well, oh my gosh, right? Calls his wife up as he's moving out, as he's leaving the driveway. Honey, I love you. Okay. Got the second one, the chakras. Okay. And then he's in the business, and he's in the office, and he's making all these deals, and he's really busy. Suddenly he sees the sun is about to set. He goes, oh my gosh. Calls up his wife. Honey, what is it? I love you, bye. Right? Okay, 3 times. Got it. Then he gets home, and he's wiped out. Right? Conks out on the couch, falls asleep, wakes up 2 a.m. Oh my gosh, I didn't tell my wife I love her. So he wakes his wife up. Honey, wake up. What is it? I love you. Good night. Right? Is that going to help his marriage? That'll destroy his marriage. Right? Because he has no kavana really. It's just robotic-like. So something that's repeated could be very powerful, But you have to put a little bit of soul into it, you know? You know, the mitzvahs are referred to in Kabbalah as garments. But what makes a garment give you warmth? Are garments, is it your pants and your sweatshirts warming you up? No, it's you. They're just preserving your body heat. If you have a fever, you can have all the down blankets you want, but you're still trembling because you're cold, because your body isn't manifesting the heat. So if you put on your tefillin without putting you into your tefillin, it doesn't work, right? And it's just a put on and it'll end up being a put off, okay? But if you put yourself into your tefillin, then something happens, right? But you have to have some understanding of what you're even trying to do. And what you're trying to do is not, you know, collect mitzvahs as if they're like these points that you save and you cash in the world to come. You know, it's like when I was dating, so I wanted to figure out who this girl was so I wouldn't have to waste too much time with her. And I would ask these little questions to try and see if we were on the same page. So I asked this girl, you know, what do you consider to be a great day of a normal day, an ordinary day in your home? You know, what comes to your mind when you think of it just a great day at home? So she said what comes to her mind is a mitzvah chart on the refrigerator door. Uh-huh. And every time the kids do a mitzvah, they get a little star. And when they collect 10 stars, they get a squirt gun. That was what came to her mind. So she kind of sensed that I didn't find that particularly inspiring. And she said, okay, well, what comes to your mind? I said, you know what? When I think of my home, I just think of light. I want my home to be filled with light. And she said, well, that's going to run you a pretty high electrical bill. I said, yeah, goodbye. So, do you think that's what mitzvahs are for children? That's true. That works. Do a mitzvah, you get a star, you collect them, you get a Rebbe card. I don't know what you get, you know? You get like Rebbe baseball cards. I don't know what you get. But you get something. Okay? But as you grow up, you have to understand that the reward of the mitzvah is being Jewish. This is what we as Jews do. This is in the collective unconscious of the Jewish people. That's how we awake to our true self as part of the greater self and become a channel for what it is about Hashem that we're meant to be revealing in the world. Okay? So, we go on. You can ask me questions in a second. So, Ray says, huh, you lost me, Doc. Doc says in number 7, Ray, the feeling of disconnect depresses you because deep inside you, you know it's not true. Ray, we're rays of the sun. We're connected this very moment. And that's why people can be depressed. You know, one of the reasons why people are depressed and people feel lonely, right, is because they're not connected to the source. Right? And Judaism is about becoming consciously connected to the source. Right? And one of the greatest plagues in the world today is loneliness. And the reason why people are going around doing horrible things, walking into schools and shooting people, and doing horrible things, is because they are so lonely and they're so miserable and so alienated and so isolated that they go into rage. Well, so how does a person get over the loneliness? There are people that are married and they could be sleeping right next to their wife or husband and they feel so lonely, right? How could two people actually be one? Without God, it's not possible, right? For there to be a relationship, I have to not be you, because if I'm you, there's no relationship, right? But if I'm not you, but we're not connected, then there's no relationship. For there to be a relationship, love needs something paradoxical. For there to be love, I have to not be you and yet somehow connected to you. How could I be connected to you? That's called God, right? When people seek love, that is the same thing as seeking God. Because love is one of the most primary manifestations of the truth of a connection to God. Because love means that even though I'm not you and you're not me, somehow in some deep level we're connected. What is that connector? That's what we call Hashem, the source. And how do you stay connected to the source? But people are so lonely because they don't even believe they can be connected to people. Because without a belief in a shared self, the source self, How could we actually be connected? A lot of people don't even believe in love, right? Do you know what the chances are of you having a good marriage? Bad, really bad, right? Right. Over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And of the 50% that stay married, 70% say they're unhappily married, right? So why? Why is it so hard, right? Why are people married and yet feel so isolated and alienated and so lonely? Without Hashem, you can't overcome the loneliness. That's the choice. It's between alone and all one. Same word, just add an L, which is the name of God, right? L, right? Alone, A-L-O-N-E, or all one, A-L-L-O-N-E. That's the difference. When you realize that it's all one, and you bring the all one into your life, you won't be alone, right? You won't be alone. And so, basically, he's saying, we're connected, but you know, you're feeling depressed because you're not feeling connected to the source. Right? And that's why your light went dark. And that's why you're just not feeling happy, because you don't feel connected. This is what everybody's looking for, to feel connected. But feel connected to who? To what? You can't feel connected to people if you don't believe in Hashem. Because what? Who's connecting us? Right? What is the connection? You're in your body, I'm in my body, and there's a space between us. Right? But Judaism says there isn't a space between us. The Shechina b'neihem. The Shechina is between us. The Shechina is the continuum that unites us all. Okay? And without that sense of Hashem, I don't know how people could ever succeed at love. Right? They're fooling. They don't believe love is possible, because how could two people actually be one? Right? So that sense of oneness, that is a feeling of the presence of Hashem in one's life. Yes?
So why do you feel like specifically connected to one person when you're connected to like everybody equally?
Well, if you remember that picture I showed you, there's certain people that are literally, you know, outlining your face. And then there's people beyond that that are outlining their face. So you could say, this is my wife, and this is my family, these are my cousins, this is my community. But we're all connected, but there's various levels of how direct the connection is. But we're all connected. If we could just send that message out to the world. When Jews said God is one, we were saying that we're all connected to the same root. Right? We're all connected to the same unified field. We're all part of the same one soul. And if people actually believe that, that's the solution. After recha kamocha, ki ani Hashem. Love your neighbor, Hashem, because I am all there ever was, is, and ever will be. I am existence. There is nothing but one I am. And your I am, and your I am, are rays of the one big I am. And when you live that way, and you talk to Hashem, and you say, Hashem, you're my one self that I share with all people. Give me guidance to be myself and feel connected to others. When you frame it that way, I think you're going to get better answers. Yes?
Going back to what you were talking about before, if you're saying certain feelings every day that you don't really understand, then it's essentially meaningless. And according to what you said before, would you say it's hurting our relationship with God?
Okay, so that's why you should be learning Shemana Esrei, first of all. And you should be learning Shema. And you should be learning what you are saying, but you could at least say it in English. And you also, and there's things in Siddur that I don't understand either. I say it because this is what Jewish people say. And to me, that's meaningful also. Right? Jews have been saying this for years, for thousands of years. I'm saying what my Zaydi said, what his Zaydi said, what his Zaydi said. That's very meaningful to me, right? And now, obviously, it'd be more meaningful if I understood every word, okay? But at the very least, what we'll do in my tefillah class is, God willing, we'll get through Shemoneh Esrei, we'll get through the entire Shema, and we'll get through the Birkat HaShachar, right? And that's already most of it, you know, already, all right? This is the plague in the Jewish world. It's become somewhat soulless for a lot of people, you know, and they're turning away. I just had a meeting with somebody and told me that her father, who's a rabbi in America, said that the new religion in America is for Jews is environmentalism. Jews are environmentalists, right? That's what they're really into. And anti-Trump, right? That's their religion, to be anti-Trump and pro-environment. But that's what's become, you know, what we're practicing, you know. So a friend of mine was in Disney World with his mother, and he was with his children. And his mother started to cry. I said, "Mom, you know, we're at that light parade. You guys saw the light, you know, the nighttime light parade." And so so the mother started to cry. So my friend turned to his mother and says, "Mommy, why are you crying?" She says, "This is so meaningful to me. I mean, like, this is my tradition. I mean, like, I grew up with Snoopy. I'm not Snoopy. I grew up with Mickey and Goofy, and now here I am sharing Mickey and Goofy with my grandchildren." That is not a tradition, you know. That's not to keep your kids, you know. And she was really, really moved that we're sharing my heritage, Mickey and Goofy. You know, right? And of course, sadly enough, as far as I know, Walt Disney was an anti-Semite. You know, he was an anti-Semite. He's frozen somewhere. You know that? Well, you know that? Yeah, frozen. He's really frozen. He asked to be frozen because he believed that at a certain time he could be thawed out and brought back to life when science will figure out how to do that. So as far as I know, I don't know if it's true, but I seem to remember reading that or hearing that, yeah? That he is somewhere in deep freeze.
He was waiting for it to get
He's waiting for Trisomaitin. Okay. He's going to have to first thaw out. Okay, but whatever. So, Ray, so then why do I feel so bad if the connection can never be broken? So the doc says, your connection can never be broken, but it can be denied. And that's what an Avera is. When you don't put on your tefillin, you are denying yourself that connection. The connection is there. You're denying yourself the experience of feeling that connection, right? And that's why it's called tefillah, okay? It's to feel it with your tefillah, okay? The conflict between who you are and what you believe about yourself is causing you all this stress and sadness. If you believe that you are a ray of Hashem, that you are a color in the spectrum of one light, you are a drop in the continuum of one ocean, whatever it is, metaphors, you know. But what you believe about yourself is determining the quality of your life, right? And there are three things that everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking to feel significant. They want their life to matter. Everybody wants to belong to that which is greater than themselves. And everybody wants to feel that they're growing. Those are the three ingredients to a happy life. To feel a sense of significance, belonging, and growth, okay? And I don't know how a person's going to find that if they actually believe that we're just a big accident. What could be significant about an accident? What could I absolutely belong to if this is just one big accident, right? And where am I growing from to if this is just one big accident? So when people believe that, really, the truth is, when a person doesn't believe in Hashem, that's its own punishment. Just if you read a little bit of what Woody Allen writes, Woody Allen is a very pronounced atheist. And in an interview I read of it with him, he was asked, so to you, what is love? He says, distraction. It's just distraction. Because love couldn't be real. What could be real about love? So it's all just distraction. So that pessimism is going to be accompanied by believing that this world is not a created world, you know? So that's the point. Do you believe that this world was meant to be? Because if it wasn't meant to be, there could be no meaning to a world that was never meant to be. And so it's all about denying yourself, right? When I celebrate Shabbat, I am celebrating that I am part of a meaningful universe, that I am celebrating that Hashem created the world and had intention and had purpose, and there's meaning to the world. I don't know how a person who actually believes that this world has no purpose, I don't know how they wake up in the morning. I need meaning. I need some money, but I need meaning more than money, right? And to me, meaning is my oxygen. I can't live without meaning. If people feel isolated, they will die. They will die. You know, people think that they need food to live. You need connection to live. Without feeling connected, you can have all the food in the world. You'll just die of starvation, of love. Because you don't feel connected to anything or anyone greater than yourself, beyond yourself. And that's just a fact, the humankind. We need connection. And that's dveikus. And so he says, look, the connection can never be broken, but it can be denied. The conflict of who you are and what you believe about yourself is causing you all this stress and sadness. This is what you believe about yourself. You believe you're disconnected. You believe you're self-contained. You believe you're an independent self that exists apart from any reality greater than yourself. That's making you miserable. So what I believe about the table won't make a difference to the table. But what you believe about yourself is fatal. And you have to ask yourself, what do I actually believe about myself? What do I really, really believe about myself? And so Ray says, so what do I have to do to let my light shine again? So he says, Ray, that's precisely your problem. Listen to what you're saying. You think it's your light. It's not your light, it's his. All the powers within us are not from us, and they're not just his gift to us. They're his presence within us. Right? And so when a person lives with this sense that all the powers within them are not from them, that's called anava. Right? That's anava. If you do a great, I don't know, let's say you write a song, and someone says to you, that's a great song. And you say, no, it isn't. That's disgusting. Right? And you think that's humbleness. That's not humbleness. Right? That's actually camouflaged ego. Because what you should say is, Baruch Hashem. Right? I'm thankful that Hashem chose me to be the tool through which he wanted that song to come into the world. I'm thankful for that. Right? But to say it's not a good song when it is a good song, then you're just an egomaniac and just trying to cover up. Right? So when a person feels that their life is filled with the presence of Hashem, and when you realize that you didn't teach your brain to think and you didn't teach your heart to beat, right? And you didn't teach your heart to feel love, well, who did? Whoever that is, the word we use is Hashem. You don't like that word? You want another word? It's not about the word. It's about the direct experience of the truth that this very second you are connected to a reality greater than yourself. And so is every other person in this room and every other human being in this room, and every other human being on this planet. We're all connected. That's what the Jewish people were saying, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. Hashem is one. There's none but the one. You are someone. You are some of that one. And we're all some of that one. Okay? You are a masterpiece, a piece of the master. Okay? Yeah.
Why is it that some people, why is it that some people aren't bothered by the apparent disconnect?
They will be. It's just a matter of time. That's like a person saying, you know, smoking doesn't kill. Look, I just had a cigarette, didn't kill me. Which cigarette killed you? Right? It was all of them, just slowly. Right? When you brush your teeth, was it this brushing that saved you from the cavity or that brushing? It's just doing it every day for a couple of minutes. You know? It's like, it's a constant consciousness that you need to be involved in. That's what's so brilliant about Judaism. It gives you a lifestyle of conscious, constant consciousness. You wake up in the morning, there's a halacha, which shoe you should put on first. Oh, really? Who cares about that? You know what? That'll make a difference. I put on this shoe, then I tie that shoe, and then I wash my hands. Well, actually, I wash my hand before I put on my shoe, whatever. But you have a routine, which is a consciousness-building routine. And it is a lifestyle that is constantly arousing from within the unconscious consciousness. And the goal of Jewish life is to be awake. Awake to yourself as part of a greater self that you share with all human beings. And you'll be amazing when you live that consciousness. You know? I mean, show me a religion that has the halachas of Lashon Hara. It's unbelievable. Learn Hilchos Shmiras HaLashon. And you will see the brilliance of Judaism. Right? Right, so much of this culture is based on gossip, on mean talk. You know, if you listen to some of these talk shows, you know, which I do all night, you know, right? If you listen to some of this stuff, I do this just to remind myself how stupid the world is. You know, it's like they're crazy. I'm so thankful I'm not part of this crazy world where people get on and they just talk bad about everybody else, mean about it. You know, comedians. A lot of comedians are just murdering, you know, celebrities, famous people, right? You know, and just horrible, and it's not even funny anymore, you know? I rarely find any comedians that are funny anymore. They're just mean, you know? They're vicious. And it all became that. Where is this coming from? It's coming from people that are isolated, right? And alienated, and feel alone. And from that loneliness, they start lashing out, right? And that's where it's coming from. And if a person knew that Hashem is Echad, then they would not feel alone. They would feel all one with everyone, right? And this is what Judaism came to do. And it's all those details in Halacha. It's just so brilliant. You know, people say, well, I keep the spirit of Shabbat. I'm sorry. It's a brilliant system. And every single detail, how you make tea on Shabbos and you don't turn on lights, it creates a consciousness. And I don't need to know and understand every single detail, right? Because I believe this is a science of consciousness that releases from the unconscious into the conscious the truth of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Living the power of the One in my life. That's what I want to do. That's what Judaism helps us do. But again, you got to put yourself in it, right? And you need some kavana. Some kavana, you know? Yeah?
So, based off of the idea that like some more like Gadols are connecting their will with Hashem's will, do you think based off of that you could posit that Das Torah is something that we should be applying to our communities?
Of course. What is Das Torah? This is a Rav who's so aligned with Hashem's will that he has a Torah intuition, right? And that would be Das Torah. Now, there might be different Das Torah, which is when we get to paradoxical logic, we'll understand how it's possible for things to be different and yet still one. Not for now. But that's Das Torah, that this person has, they're walking with Hashem. You know, I told you the Rav Tzadok says something really amazing. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu received the word of God, but the Arizal was hacked into the mind of God, right? And so the Arizal is downloading the secrets behind Judaism, right? How did he do that, right? So that if a person lives a Torah life with the proper kavana, right, they are so aligning their will with Hashem's will, they're so building the mechanism. As I mentioned, it's like a radio. You're building this super radio where you're getting such incredible reception and becoming such an amazing transmitter of Hashem, the transcendental self. You know, as I shared with you, Carl Jung said, I simply believe that a part of the soul transcends time and space, right? Well, actually, we would say it differently. It's not a part of the soul, right? Actually, the whole soul transcends time and space, and you are a part of a soul that transcends time and space. And if you tune into that, you are going to be getting that prophetic, you know, that prophetic guidance. Yeah?
When you talked about how there can't be like a connection between two people unless they believe in God, I think this is just as strong if they have different perceptions of God. Like one thinks that God is close and in all of us, and one thinks that he's some guy in the sky.
If somebody thinks God is some guy in the sky, then how is that guy in the sky uniting us? So they intuit Hashem as he truly is because they intuit love and they believe somehow we have shared self. But they don't know that that's what it means or that's part of what it means to know Hashem. They're still under the childish image that Hashem is a personality, someone just like you and me, doesn't have a body, he's infinite, I'm infinitesimal, and he's over there. And we are separate, and I live in my separate self. So a person that lives that way, that works for a while, but after a while, it's going to start breaking down. You know, and I think this is what we're seeing, and that's why I do believe that the teachings of Hasidus are absolutely, absolutely essential for this generation. Right? Yeah.
Are we going to get to Amalek and like what their connection with?
We're going to kill him. We're going to get to him. We're just going to kill him. I saw an Amaleki kid at the playground the other day. I messed that kid up. I said, "You an Amaleki kid?" Okay. Anyways, by the way, you should just know you don't have a mitzvah to kill an Amaleki kid, right? You have a mitzvah to kill the entire nation. If you can't kill the entire nation, you leave the individuals alone. So that's a big... And when we get closer to Purim, we'll talk about what it actually means to kill Amalek. Okay? In the meantime, you won't know who Amalek is anyways. Okay?
No, but Rav Aaron, you've never heard that you can just assume because Safi Torah is the Chumrah.
Okay. So before I answer more questions, I don't want to forget. So I said there's going to be a quiz. So there is a quiz, and this is your homework. Yes, you have homework that you need to do for tomorrow. It's a multiple choice questionnaire, and it's based on the script of Ray, which you can now take with you. And tomorrow we're going to go through the it, and you will evaluate yourself. You will mark yourself and know how much you are really getting. And again, Ray is really summing up everything we've been learning until now. After Hanukkah, we're going to start kind of a new chapter. Okay? So do this by tomorrow. It's not long. It's only 20 pages. It's 4 pages, and it should be easy. Now, there might be more than one answer that's correct. Now, it could be there are no answers. So this is a multiple question here whereby either it could be that none of them are correct, or it could be that all of them are correct. Okay, but you circle the one or the ones that you think are correct. You can take it.
None of them. What you said?
What?
You
should have
none of that
correct. Some of the you might have a question and none of the answers are correct.
You
can use the script. I mean, you'd be better off not using the script just to test yourself how much you've really absorbed. But if you want to use the script, it's an open page test. Yeah. One more question, yeah.
When talking about
1 second, guys, we got just 3 more minutes. Yeah.
You're talking about like the tapestry of knowledge that you have in your subconscious. Is that strictly like Torah Tavin or Torah Shabbat, or is that like some like mathematics and stuff that you can find inside of you?
It's all inside of you. You are like the DNA to the universe. When Hashem said, "Let us make man in our image," who was Hashem talking to? The entire universe is reflected in the human being. And so within each and every one of us is not only all of us, but every single facet of the universe to its own relativity is reflected within you. Okay, so you could find all the truth inside of yourself. Right? But the question how to do that, and Torah is helping you access that connection. All right, see you later. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rabbi.